For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.
Anthony, I've yet to get to Beginning Again. It says world premiere of a play by David Allen Brown, but almost everything at the Alleyway is a world premiere, isn't it?
That is their mission, and in this case, a brand new play. So it's a man who is recently widowed trying to come to terms with this change in his life and what it means for his future, and he interacts with different people in successive scenes, ultimately with his own son. And it's very nicely played by a cast featuring David Hayes in the central role. And as we predicted last week, very existential, introspective, but engaging.
Well, two words we used last week when we were talking about Far Away were existential and disturbing. And I've got to say, yeah, you were absolutely right. Wow.
Well, the play, which they've staged beautifully, Christina Siegel's scenography is always just incredible, and she's gone full throttle expressionistic on this, beginning with that wobbly little house with the lights, the initial conversation. Carol Churchill's play is not a model of clarity. You don't know exactly what's going on at certain points, but it's useful if you know that the girl in the first scene is the woman of the second scene.
And the third scene.
Yes.
As well.
Yes, she witnesses something disturbing in a family member who comforts her by lying to her, and we know that she's being lied to. But by the time she's a woman, she has reconciled some just irreconcilable issues in life. She's working, making hats for a parade of prisoners, and I'm going to give a little disclosure, which we wouldn't typically do, because I think it'll help to have an idea of what's going to happen. They're executed. They are burned with the hats, and she laments, oh, how sad that they have to burn the hats with the prisoners. Just this absurd disconnect between what has value, a human life or a hat.
But then she's very happy that one of the hats will be saved and put in the special showcase as whatever, the hat of the month or something like that.
Right. And by the time we get to the final scene, the whole world has come undone, as they're saying. You know, the weather has taken the side of the Japanese. These complete upheaval of nature itself. And with some very fine acting, I thought that these actors, it doesn't bother them at all that we're into a totally non-realistic realm, fully committed in these performances.
And just a quick shout out to sort of middle Joan, played by Corrine McLaughlin. Saw her over at Subversive last year in the Radium Girls. She's still in high school. Really hope she sticks around after she graduates.
Well, if she's that good, let's hope she leaves town.
And then comes back a star. Now, I highly doubt that a play by Carol Churchill would ever be part of dinner theater, because I don't think you could finish.
Do you know, when it comes to Jay Desiderio and Desiderio's dinner theater, you never know.
Really?
He's done Extremities, he's done Nuts, he's all over the place.
But
now,
out.
Yes, but now he returns to tried and true dinner theater material, the backstage comedy Jitters, about a show in which everything goes wrong, with the mistress of dinner theater comedy, Sue Toomey, as the grand dame of the theater. A lesson in how to land a joke. But what drove me to Desiderio's, they called me and said that I might not want to come that particular night after all, because a member of the cast was unable to perform, and Jay Desiderio himself was going on, script in hand. And I paused and said, try and stop me. I'm there. I am so there. That fun sort of absurd thing that can happen in the live theater where the stage manager has to go on, or in this case, Jay Desiderio himself, it just enhanced the experience so much. Riotously funny, which is all it pretends to be, the play in which everything goes wrong.
Is this a little bit like Noises Off?
Yes.
The Nance is coming to Subversive Theater, and it sounds sort of like a tug at the heartstrings comedy involving a gay performer, set way before gay rights activism. And you saw it in New York with Nathan Lane?
I did. It's set back in the golden age of burlesque, or maybe burlesque is a bit past its golden age, coming undone, and the police are scrutinizing the morality. And you'd think that they would be going after the strippers. You'd think they'd be going after the blue comedy. There was a kind of an act popular in burlesque, which was the pansy act. It was a mincing, queenie gay character who would play with the ambiguity of sexual orientation to the riotous reaction of audiences. That sounds just horrible to us today, but to realize that this is among the very first of making the public aware of the existence of gay people. And that is the act the police close in on. Beautiful play, beautiful play. Well, also opening this week, Ben Butler, a Civil War era show that's opening up at the Cavanoki, based on a real life incident in which a slave presented himself to a Union officer and said, offer me refuge. And the man was only for about 5 minutes an officer, really an attorney. And he said, well, we have a legal quandary here. There is the Fugitive Slave Act. And historically, what he did was cleverly dub the man contraband, as horrible as that sounds, and thereby save his life. But that's what this comedy drama is about up at the Cavanoki.
For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.